Here at Kerygma Ventures, our love for the Bible doesn't stop us from having questions about it. Quite the opposite. Our love for the Bible makes us more curious about it. Do you sometimes wonder how the message of the New Testament gives meaning to the Old Testament? Are you fascinated by how Scripture applies to your life? If you do, head over to studythebibleguide.com to get some answers. Listen, we've got a simple guide to give you. It's free, and it's packed with practical tools to help you study the Bible. That website again is studythebibleguide.com. And thanks for listening to this Kerygma Ventures podcast. God bless.
Welcome back to the Kerygma Ventures podcast. When you do the right things, but they still end up going wrong, what do you do then? Even if we are faithful to our spouses, raise our kids right, and are truthful in business, it's still possible our spouses might cheat on us, that our kids might not walk with Christ, and our business partners might lie to us. So what do we do then? That's the topic of today's episode with our guest, Eric Morgan. We pray this message will encourage, challenge, and transform. And as always, we invite you to share it with someone who needs it.
Hey, Eric Morgan. It's good to have you across the table from me so we can talk. We just got finished with a Bible study we've both been doing for a long time. We call it the Commissioner's Men Bible Study because we used to meet in the commissioner's office. Did you come then?
I did. I came a couple times before we left.
Yeah. Well, I thought the guys were really cute in naming it the Commissioner's Men since we were meeting in the county commissioner's office. And we put double entendre to it, so we've been commissioned by the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, I don't know. What got you coming to that thing?
Well, Corey Huddleston invited me.
Yeah,
he did. And I thought, well, I've heard that guy on CD before because you used to mail out your CDs. I said, well, maybe I'll see if he's any better in person than he is on CD.
Sorry.
But it was great.
Yeah. So what do you like about that group?
You hear the gospel. I mean, we talked earlier at lunch, we were talking, and I said, I rarely go to a group that can draw men from that many backgrounds and denominations in one place. Yeah. There's something unifying this group other than man-made religion.
Yeah.
That excites me.
Yeah. It does me. I love watching the guys. And like you said, we've got all kinds there. We have Catholics and Church of Christ and Baptists and Pentecostal and nothings. We got all kinds. But they all have a common interest in, a common desire to know the difference in the gospel that's promoted in America as the Christian gospel and the real gospel, the one that's in the New Testament. So,
amen.
I think it's intriguing that they realize there's something different about it, and it's like a magnet. They want to know it. So,
yeah, in my own life and in the life of the men that come, I always love watching you detonate the gospel and let it blow up the man-made religion, the wrong thinking, the bad theology that we've learned, in the American church and over the years. So it's enjoyable, and it's been transformative for me. So,
yeah, every once in a while you'll see in the eyes of the guys who are listening, you're watching but behind the eyes and you're thinking they're going, oh, God, he can't mean that. That's going to blow up everything I've ever believed in.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, what do you want to talk about?
Well, got some questions. One question I was thinking about, and we talked a little bit about it earlier in the group, but is, at my age, I'm not old, but I've lived enough to have some life experience. Yeah. And one of the questions, or one of the hardest things to deal with, is what do you do when you've done the right thing and things still go wrong? You raise your child to walk in the way of the Lord, and then you get a prodigal on your hands, or maybe more than one prodigal.
Yeah.
You were a faithful husband, and yet your wife was unfaithful and left.
Yeah.
You've been honest in your business dealings, yet you get cheated. What do you do?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it belies something that all of us have to deal with, and that is we honestly think down deep inside without thinking it through, we think that we can put God in debt to us by something that we do for him.
It's true. Like,
if I'm obedient, even a little bit, God owes me something. And if I will, if I'm obedient a lot, he owes me a lot.
Mm.
And if I, you know, take my kids to church and I read the Bible with them and, you know, I try to teach them the right principles of life, and then they go off and mess up, it's like, God, we had a deal.
Right.
So part of the question comes from that sense that we all have. It's like, I can put God in debt to me. I can make him do what I need to be done by my obedience or my sacrifice or my service or whatever. And so first thing we got to do is get rid of that whole deal. You can't put God in debt to you.
That's good. I mean, you're saying, hey, it eliminates that idea that I did my part, but he didn't do his.
Yeah.
We didn't ever say that, but we're implying that.
Yeah.
With that question, I guess.
Yeah, like it's the same kind of same question, I think, that people go, and I tried that praying, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. Well, what's that saying? You know, it's saying that working means I pull the lever and nothing came out of the vending machine.
Mm.
And so I prayed the prayer and God didn't do it, so prayer doesn't work.
Mm.
Well, maybe you got to get a better definition of praying. You know, it's not pulling a vending machine. It's get to know somebody and letting them get to know you and doing things together. So
in that, if we're not getting out what we put in, what's the quickest path to getting out what Jesus put in our brokenness, in our suffering, in our difficulty? At that point, yeah, we do have self-righteousness that needs to die.
Yeah.
But we also have a need for the pain to stop and a need to experience grace. And I know God responds to our neediness.
Yeah. Well, I think you answered the question in the question, and that is, the goal is not to get it to work, in other words, to do what I demand God does. The goal is to know him and to be known by him, and to know him means that I would know him as a God of mercy and that he comes to me in my weakness and in my failure, and he is to me what I can't be for myself, you know. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, Jesus said. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. How am I ever going to know the true nature of Jesus if I don't have failure? Because he shines in my failure.
That's true.
You know, it's his forgiveness. I can't forgive myself at the level I need to be forgiven. It takes somebody bigger, better than me to forgive me so that I don't regret and I don't live in shame and I don't live in guilt. But I am really forgiven and it's off my back. And the debt's taken care of and it's paid. And I am free to simply move forward loving him and being obedient to him. I can't do that, but he can.
That's true.
And I can't humble myself. I mean, I can to a degree. I can say I was wrong, whatever. I can't humble myself low enough that is sufficient. So he humbled himself and took on my problem and gave me his righteousness. So getting to know a Jesus like that no matter what I do in my failure, he shines in my failure. So, you know, somebody might could just say, well, if I believe that, I would just fail all the time. Well, you do.
That's true.
You do.
Whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. And so I think the whole thing of, what God is trying to do is make me a better person so I don't fail so much. Well, he might be just making you a better person by letting you see your failures and his forgiveness and his being for you what you can't do yourself.
Makes me think of we often try to define the infinite God from our finite perspective.
Yeah.
And from our view, we say things like, why do bad things happen to good people? But the real question is, why do good things happen to bad people?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really a better perspective.
It is.
That would bring me to the end of myself. So I think what I heard you say, because I know a guy who wrote a book called Grace Works, so I'm trying to figure out how it works.
Yeah.
Is come to the end of yourself, admit your failure, and let God's mercy and grace cover the circumstance. Because I think in those moments, the honest truth is we feel like Peter when Peter said, well, Lord, where else can I go? I mean, only you have the words of life. You know, I mean, I know I felt that way. And when you're standing in that, it's difficult.
Yeah, you know, going back to the original question of, okay, what do you do when you've done the right thing as much as you know and it's not working? It helped me back when I was starting to be a parent, which is a daunting thing. You know, I can remember being in the hospital when the person was born, and you know, we do a natural childbirth, and when he came out, and they're holding him, and I'm awestruck. It's like, oh my, this little guy is going to be. He's going to go to heaven or hell one day, and I've got custody of him until. Oh, I don't think I can do this.
Terrifying.
It's terrifying. I've never been a daddy before. I don't know what to do. You know. So past that, it's like, okay, I got to make sure he does all the right stuff, and got to make a perfect kid and out of him. And
yeah. He don't. That's about what I would say with my kids is if I could keep them from ever experiencing suffering or difficulty, I would.
Yeah.
You know, I would be God to them and they would never need redemption.
Exactly.
Because I would try to protect them from every pitfall that might come.
Absolutely.
And so I relate to what you're saying, and it is overwhelming.
Yeah, I've heard myself say, you know, I want my kids to know God and everything that He is. I want them to know all of the fullness of Him, the differences, the beauty, the uniqueness. Well, if you're going to know God, you got to know the God of mercy because that's His heart, which means they're going to have to need mercy, which means they're going to mess up. And like you're saying, it's like, no, I want them to know mercy without ever needing mercy.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. And so, you know, as it comes to parenting, it helped me one time to realize that God's children didn't turn out so good either.
Hmm. That's a good point.
I mean, He had two perfect kids in Adam and Eve in a perfect environment. And He wasn't able.
Well, that's shocking.
I'm not going to say He's not able, but we're going to say they didn't turn out so good.
Right.
But they did turn out good because it gave an opportunity for His grace to come in, His mercy to show. And He took that couple and ultimately produced, through the human line, He produced His son, Jesus, who was God-man. And He did turn out good. And He made it possible for all of us to know Him. So the good thing we have to know as parents is that all our kids have another parent, and He's looking out after them.
That's good.
And I don't get to decide whether people go to heaven or hell. I do get to decide whether I love them or not, and whether I forgive them, and whether or not I'm faithful to my responsibility with them. But I don't get to decide if they're good or bad or whatever. I have to believe that God loves them better than I do.
That's good. Certainly, as a time as a parent, you realize God redeeming their heart or calling them is outside of your control.
Yeah,
and it's hard to let go of control as men. I think.
Yeah.
I want to control that call. I want them to respond. I want to help engineer that response.
Yeah.
As much as possible. But the truth, as of late, I find myself holding on to the verses like Isaiah, like, all my children will be taught by the Lord, and great and undisturbed will be their peace. But I can't control it. God, you're going to have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't do it, I'm in big trouble.
Yeah. So. But it's such a great thing to know. I mean, I know you're— What age are your kids right now?
16. Our oldest son, Jace, is 16. Mac is 14. Caleb is 11. And Ashley's 7.
Okay, so you're right in the middle.
We're in the thick of it.
Yeah, right in the middle of the big stuff, the big changes and all that kind of stuff. And it's easy for it to get overwhelming, particularly if we ever let ourselves to believe that the goal is to make good little boys and girls. That's not the goal. The goal is to help them to know their Heavenly Father so they can discover who they are and with Him make a difference in life. So.
Thank you so much for listening to the Kerygma Ventures podcast. We'd love for you to join us next week as we continue to bring you conversations and messages that challenge you to live a life of grace and freedom, developing a thriving relationship with Jesus. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you share it with someone in your life who you know would be encouraged to hear it? Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.